This is the word of God in Genesis 19. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, "Behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, "Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them." And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, "I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof." And they said, "Stand back." And they said again, "This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them." And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, "Hast thou here any besides a son-in-law? And thy daughters, and thy sons, and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because of the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, "Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, "Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city." And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, "Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." And Lot said unto them, "Oh, not so, my lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me, and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live." And he said unto him, "See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city, for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither." Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain. And beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters were with him, For he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, Our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, Behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose. Thus were both of the daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab, same as the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she also bare a son and called his name Ben-Ammi, the same as the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. We'll read the word of God that far. Call your attention tonight to verse 26 of Genesis 19. Genesis 19, 26, which says this, But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, our own Savior in Luke chapter 17 tells us the word that we need to keep before our minds with respect to the Old Testament figure of Lot's wife. In Luke chapter 17, verse 32, we have this short sentence concerning her from Jesus. Remember Lot's wife. Tonight, for our preparatory sermon, as we anticipate communion next week, Sunday morning, the Lord willing, we take heed to that word of Jesus Christ. We tonight remember Lot's wife in order that we might learn the lesson that God teaches us by this Old Testament figure, a negative lesson of what we must not do as we walk here on this earth anticipating the return of Jesus Christ. And by considering the negative example of Lot's wife, we are led to see what the positive is as we prepare our hearts to partake of communion next week. To get at the main idea, let me ask this question. Are you ready for the return of Jesus Christ, who will come one day in judgment upon the unbelieving, impenitent, ungodly world? The answer to that question does not concern so much that day when he comes. Will you be ready then? You can say, the answer to that question does not concern that future day. It concerns today. The answer to the question, will you be ready when Jesus Christ returns in judgment one day, is answered by the question, are you ready now? Right now, as you sit in these pews and listen to this sermon preached, are you ready right now for Jesus Christ to come? At the end, when he comes in judgment upon the unbelieving and ungodly world. Not where will your heart be on that day, but where is your heart right now? Lot's wife indicated on that day of judgment where her heart was. It was in Sodom and Gomorrah. We don't look to Sodom and Gomorrah. We don't look on that day of judgment to anything here below on this earth. Today, tomorrow, and on that great day, we look to one place. The city that hath foundations, and the one who established the city at the center of it all, the Lord Jesus Christ. I call your attention to this passage using the very words of Christ in Luke 17. Remember Lot's wife. Let's consider in the first place the clear warning. In the second place, the longing look. And in the third place, the certain judgment. Remember Lot's wife, the clear warning, the longing look, and the certain judgment. I don't want to this evening take the time to go through all of the particular elements of Genesis 19 and the history of what happened in the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. We know the history fairly well, and we don't need, therefore, tonight to get into all of those details. But what we do is get into the details that matter. And if we want to understand properly verse 26 of Genesis 19, we have to see the important words that are found earlier in the chapter in verses 13 through 17. Because in verses 13 through 17, what we have is the clear warning that was issued by God through the angels as the angels spoke to Lot and his wife and his family. That's the first point of the sermon. That sets the stage for what Lot's wife did and why she received the severe judgment that she did in light of what happened. You have to see that in the context of what was the sharpest, clearest warning that could possibly be issued to Lot and his family. The two angels were sent by God to Sodom, and particularly to Lot and his family. And the clear warning of those two angels was that God was going to, in his judgment, destroy these unbelieving and ungodly cities. In no uncertain terms did these two angels make that clear to Lot and his family. We read in verse 13, "For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." We read in verse 15, "Arise, take thy wife and thy daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity or punishment of the city." So the angels come to the family and say very clearly, this is what is going to happen. God is going to rain down his fire and his vengeance upon this city and utterly destroy it. And so in light of that very clear, sharp, unmistakable warning, the angels tell Lot and his family what they are to do. And what they are to do is twofold. On the one hand, they are to leave, escape from the judgment of God that is going to come down upon these cities and flee from the cities themselves. But then notice this in the second place, and this is what is especially important as we think about what Lot's wife did. And this comes out in verse 17. "After the angels brought them forth abroad, they said, escape for thy life." And then look at this in the middle of verse 17. "Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." In light of the clear warning, there was a twofold clear calling. And the twofold clear calling was leave and don't look. Lot's wife left, but she looked. Now that makes something very clear That is important for us to understand as we read and interpret and apply Old Testament history. That second part of the command, don't look back, indicates to us that what matters here in this instance with Lot and his family is what is true for the church of all ages, both Old Testament and New Testament. And that is that what matters most is the heart. You see, when we study, interpret, and apply Old Testament history, the framework with which we do that is often, and correctly so, this: that the outward physical picture and reality points to the spiritual truth. It's that figure, or rather framework, that really governs our interpreting and applying of all Old Testament history. For example, the clearest of all, maybe, the bondage and slavery of Egypt and God's deliverance of Israel from that physically teaches us about the spiritual deliverance and freedom from the bondage and slavery of sin. Now, why do I bring that up here? Well, I bring that up here to indicate that it wasn't just a matter of physically leaving Sodom and Gomorrah. To be saved from Sodom and Gomorrah, from its physical destruction by with their feet getting out of the city so that the fire and brimstone didn't come upon them, in the end wasn't the most important thing. And that second command to leave physical, but then not look, indicates that ultimately it's not just leaving in body, but it's escaping in heart as well. Lot's wife, though she got out of the city physically, in her heart was still right in the middle of it. For both Old and New Testament, what matters most is not the physical, outward, where are you, but the inward, spiritual heart. And you can even say there's an application for the church. It's not just the fact that physically tonight you're in this church, sitting here under the preaching of the gospel. Absolutely necessary. And even in the Old Testament, the outward and physical was necessary. What matters chiefly is your heart. Clear warning with a clear command of what to do. There is a clear warning that comes to us this evening as the New Testament church. And the clear warning is that the Lord Jesus Christ will one day come in judgment upon an unbelieving, impenitent, ungodly world. That day of judgment will come. The reason that I make this as the clear warning to the New Testament church is on account of the fact that in Luke 17, where we find those words, "Remember Lot's wife," Jesus makes clear that in the days of Noah prior to the flood, and in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah at the time Lot lived, we have two types of what is to come in the future on that day when Jesus Christ returns. Verses 26 and 27 of Luke 17 say this: "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood of came and destroyed them all." And then verses 28 and 29. "Likewise, also was it in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in the house. Let him not come down to take it away. His life is here on this earth, that what matters to him. And he that is in the field, let him not likewise return back. And then the text concerning his wife. Remember Lot's wife. The clear warning, beloved, is that that day is going to come. The day of judgment when Jesus Christ returns is going to come. Take note of a few points concerning that day. Number one, it's going to be a terrible day of judgment. And don't let anyone ever cause you to think that it's going to be anything less than terrible upon the unbelieving, impenitent, and ungodly world. You think about Sodom and Gomorrah and what God did to those cities in the way of their own ungodliness and impenitence. And you have to always remember this, that's a type of the reality to come when Jesus returns. And the type is never meant to exceed the reality in terms of the severity of the judgment that will come. You think that's an outstanding example of the vengeance of God upon sinners and ungodliness? It just points to the even greater terrible day of judgment that will be upon the unbelieving and impenitent world. And it's absolutely certain in the second place. It's absolutely certain because of the character of who God is. When you consider the history of Sodom and Gomorrah, God did only that which he could do according to his holiness, righteousness, and judgment, which is pour upon that ungodly city the dregs of his wrath because of who he is as God. And beloved, it's absolutely certain also because it is the clear word of God that we're reading here. Why was it certain when Lot heard this news that Sodom and Gomorrah was going to be destroyed? It's certain because the angels had the word of God. They were the mouthpieces of God. When the angels came to Lot and his family, the angels did not say to Lot and his family, "Lot, we think that this is going to happen to Sodom and Gomorrah. And we don't know when it's going to happen. We don't even know if it's going to happen, but we think it may happen. And you know what? It might be a good idea to prepare by escaping from these cities now." That wasn't what the angels came with. They said, "This is going to happen. The Lord will come in his judgment." And it's with the exact same certainty that we must approach the reality that Jesus Christ one day will come in judgment. And in the third place, we simply do not know the day nor the hour when that takes place. In the parallel passage to Luke 17 and Matthew 24, that's stated explicitly, "No man knows the day or the hour of Jesus' return." And God is very deliberate in teaching us that truth. Think about how different it would be if he said, "On such and such a day, I, in the person of my Son, am going to return in judgment upon this world." If we knew the exact day, how different would we approach today? And that's the point. No man knows the day or the hour in which the Lord will return. And so that not knowing that day, what is the responsibility? The responsibility and the calling that comes from God is not "then is okay." Rather, it is now the time to believe, to trust in Christ, to watch, and to be ready. Talking about the day of Jesus' return, There is another judgment day that will come if the Lord does not return in your lifetime. And that's the day of your death, the time when you will meet, as we say, your Maker. And that too, an unknown day of judgment before God. The clear warning is that upon all the unbelieving, impenitent, ungodly world, Jesus Christ will come in judgment. That brings us to the second point of the sermon, which is entitled The Longing Look. Lot's wife, after she was led out of the city, as we know, did this. She looked back from behind him. The object of her look, obviously, were the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. When we read in the text that Lot's wife looked back, we know, of course, that it's more than just her eyes physically looked at these cities. The idea of the word looked has in it the ideas of longed for, desired, set her heart and affection upon. Her eyes indicated what was in her heart. And we speak this way even in our everyday language. He or she had longing eyes upon someone or something. The eyes indicate the heart. Lot's wife had a heart and a desire that was rooted firmly in the ways of Sodom and Gomorrah. We don't have a lot with respect to Lot's wife. We don't know exactly why it was that she longingly looked back at Sodom and Gomorrah when she was outside of the city. Let's look at the options. There was something about the city and what it represented that her heart was attached to and that she loved. Let's look at some of the options. Maybe it was the sexual immorality that Sodom and Gomorrah were known for. We don't know that for sure, but maybe that's what it was. Maybe she had that life while she lived in the city in which she was able to fulfill the lusts of her flesh by all the sexual immorality that was so available and constant in these cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Maybe it was the pride and the haughtiness that characterized those cities. We have a couple of verses in the Old Testament that speak to the sins that Sodom and Gomorrah were known for. Ezekiel 16 verse 49 says this, "Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride." And then in verse 50, right after that, "they were haughty." Maybe that's what she loved about the city. Loved the fact that it was a place where it was all about me. She lived her life totally focused on herself. Didn't care about what others thought or did. She cared about one person, me, myself, and I. Strikingly similar to the world in which we live, completely focused on self. Maybe it was instead the laziness and the pleasure seeking. Ezekiel 16, verse 49 in the middle says this, "Fullness of bread and abundance of idleness was in her and her daughters." That's what characterized Sodom and Gomorrah. Pleasure seeking. Do the minimum amount of work to eke out the maximum amount of pleasure that one can attain in this life. Maybe that's what she loved and longed for in that city. Or maybe it was this, from what we read in Jeremiah 23, verse 14, the lies and the deceit that went along with being in Sodom and Gomorrah. Jeremiah 23, verse 14. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hand of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all unto me as Sodom and the inhabitants thereof of Gomorrah. We mentioned some of those other things. One thing there is they walk in lies. Maybe that was her life, a life of deceit. Never telling the truth, always speaking half-truths in the end to get what her heart was set upon. The point with all of this is that by her longing look, she indicated that her heart was set upon the things of Sodom and Gomorrah, whatever it may have been. And she longed to be there and live in those sins. And so the question is, where is your heart? Where is your heart set upon right now? You see, the only place that it can be set upon in order to escape the inescapable judgment of God is upon Jesus Christ with a true and living faith. She set her heart upon Sodom and everything that it represented. The opposite of that, which we need to hear as the positive calling that comes to the church, is that we take our eyes off of Sodom and Gomorrah and everything that it represents, and we set our eyes upon, every single day, Jesus Christ. And not that city that was utterly destroyed under the justice and vengeance of God, but upon the city that has foundations, the builder and maker of which is God. Christian faith tells you to do something that is against what anyone would say in a similar situation as this. Let me explain that. Typically, if you know that danger is over here, this is the source of the danger, this is the source of the judgment, this is the source of a fury and wrath that is going to be poured out upon you. It's coming from over here. Typically, what you would do in response to that is say this, I'm going to run that way. And I'm going to run that way as fast as I possibly can to get away from that coming from over there. That's not the gospel. The amazing gospel of Jesus Christ says this: to escape the judgment of God that will come upon unbelieving, impenitent, ungodly sinners is to run as fast as you can with believing hearts and longing eyes upon the very source of the judgment itself. Go to Jesus and believe in Him. The only way to escape the judgment that comes from Him. Where is your heart? May it not be that though you are here today in body, your heart is somewhere else, so that tomorrow you wake up and it's all about the sexual immorality that you have access to. May it not be that you're here in body tonight, but you wake up tomorrow and it's all about me. Me, me, me. May it not be that you're here in body, but you wake up tomorrow and it's all about, I'm going to do the minimum amount in my callings to eke out the maximum amount of pleasure in this world. And may it not be that you're here in body tonight, but tomorrow you wake up and the whole life of deceit that characterizes all of your relationships continues to feed what you want to feed. But may it be very simply this: You're here in body. You believe this word. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And tomorrow morning you wake up and you say, my heart is set upon one. My heart is set upon Christ. And everything Christ represents, and the city that has foundations, the things of God in heaven. So that I know Jesus Christ is going to return. He's going to return in judgment. And I know that a day comes in which I will die if he does not come before that. But not then am I going to be concerned about that. But right now, I do what I have always done. I start doing what I am called to do, which is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Set your hearts upon him and live your life not in the things of Sodom and Gomorrah, but in the things of the city of God. The one who does that may think about Sodom and Gomorrah. We may look at Sodom and Gomorrah tonight, so to speak, but we don't do it with longing eyes, saying what Lot's wife, by those longing eyes, said, I want to be there and I want what's everything in that city has to offer. But we say very different things. Very different things. What we say is this: I believe in this God who is a God of righteousness, justice, and holiness. And I believe this God that poured out this fury and vengeance upon Sodom and Gomorrah, poured out upon that city what I deserve because of who I am as a guilty sinner before that holy and just God. And when I think about Sodom and Gomorrah and everything God poured out upon that city, I know that not only is my God this righteous, holy, and just God that he demonstrates himself to be in this history, but he is the God of amazing grace, astounding mercy, because all of the fury of that fire upon that city was the fury of God's wrath in my place that was poured out in my place upon Jesus Christ. And I know when I look back at that city that there is a part of me that loves that city, that has the lust in my heart, that wakes up and wants to live life for myself, that wants nothing else than the pleasures of this world, that is by nature deceitful and lying. But you know what? I hate that. I hate it with everything that's in me. I despise it. I want to flee from it. And when I walk in it, God reveals that to me and I take it to Christ and I say, I'm sorry, and seek forgiveness from it. And I, knowing all of that, seek God's grace to set my heart upon the glorious, beautiful things of God and to walk in the way that he would call me to walk. We think about Sodom and Gomorrah, but it's not with the longing eyes that loves that city. It's with a different eye that hates it, desiring to set our eyes of longing upon what is most beautiful, our Savior and the things of God. Because we know that there is a certain judgment that will come, and that's the end of the sermon tonight. We can see the negative. She looked back from behind him and she became a pillar of salt. God judged her in a very significant way. Right then and there she died. She became a pillar, a statue, a monument preserved in salt. And the way in which she died was in harmony with what we have in Luke 17, a way in which she would be remembered, memorialized for what she did, so that Jesus picks up on this and says, remember Lot's wife, remember her as a negative example that on that day of judgment, there will be those who will want to go here and get this and get that because their heart is on this earth. Remember Lot's wife, for this was her end. There will be a day when it is too late. On that day of judgment, when Christ returns, on the day of your death, when you will stand before God, it's a day at which time it will be too late. And thus the urgency of the call to believe and to set your heart with a living faith upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And for those who do, we who are believers in the church, the end is not that certain judgment that Lot's wife experienced. The end is very different. It's the most beautiful, glorious life that one could ever imagine. It's life with God in Jesus Christ. It's glorying in the gracious, merciful salvation that we have in Jesus. It's knowing that we are spared from this terrible judgment and given its absolute opposite, by God's grace, the most beautiful life ever. The worthy partaker of the Lord's Supper is the one who knows this Christ, who loves him, who knows their sin and what they are worthy of, and who sets their heart upon the things of God, desiring to walk in God's ways. Are you ready for the day of judgment when it comes? Are you ready now? The one who is ready now for the day of their death or the day of Jesus' return is the one who's prepared and is a worthy partaker of the Lord's Supper. May God use this word to lead us to Christ, to know our sin, and to encourage us out of thankfulness to set our hearts upon the things of God and walk in His ways and to be kept from the sin of Lot's wife and from the judgment that came upon her. Amen. Father in heaven, we pray for thy blessing upon thy word as it was preached tonight. May it be a word spoken from the heart to the heart for the well-being of thy people. Work powerfully through thy word, as thou dost promise to do, that thy word never comes back void, but always is a sharp two-edged sword. Hear our prayer, Father, for Jesus' sake. Amen.